Welcome to Center Finance. It's about 9:20 on April the 11th, I guess. We're going to hear a presentation today on Garvey bonds, dealing with transportation needs throughout the state. At the table, we have Senator Wilkins, Senator Olson, Senator Osterman, Senator Green, myself, Senator Kelly, and Senator Lehman. Senator Donnelly is testifying in another committee. And first up on this is co-chair from House Finance, Representative Mulder. Representative Mulder is going to start the presentation today. Representative Mulder, it's yours.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. It's a pleasure to be here today. Talk about Garvey bonds. As you know, we did pass this bill through our side last year. We felt it had a lot of merit. I know most of you have been talked to and talked about this particular proposal for a while, so I don't need to talk about a lot of the mechanics of you. I will point out, in my opinion, it is a very creative and an innovative way to try and deal with some of the more pressing transportation needs that we have in the state without endangering any of the future. From my standpoint, I think it's when you analyze the bill, there are very, very, very few negatives that could be said about it. You know, when you consider the fact that you're able to take some projects that are either slated for a long time in the future or otherwise projects that you might not be able to get to, and you can get them online in a shorter period of time, saving the inflationary costs, you're saving money, and you're addressing transportation needs in the near term as opposed to the long term. I know we've all felt frustrated because we couldn't get to some of these projects, but now we're going to be able, through this proposal, you'd be able to get to them. The truly innovative part of it is the fact that when you bond or securitize the revenue stream, a small portion of the revenue stream from the federal government, and get the cash up front, the interest off of that money that you receive from that securitization actually helps make or makes your federal payment, your federal match. So in such a way, you actually save general funds. So that general fund savings pretty much offsets any of the costs that you have that you'll have to pay in interest over time. So it's really a very creative way because of the ability to securitize and use the interest gain. It's really, in my opinion, one of the more logical ways of dealing with it that we've ever come up with. I want to talk a little bit about as I said, there are very few things against it. The only thing I think you could ever argue that why this is a bad idea or why it may not be the best idea, the only thing you're sacrificing are some of those decisions that you would have made out in 10 years, the flexibility to change those decisions down line. But I think that's more than offset or overshadowed by the fact that you're bringing some of these projects that we all know are out there. We haven't built a road in the state for a long time, nor have we upgraded many of them that are in critical need. I know as I look around the table, some of the folks who've driven through Anchorage lately realize the problems, the bottlenecks that we have in our own community. I know other communities are facing that. When you consider the fact that we're going to be able to actually address some of those bottlenecks, I don't think the loss of flexibility in the future is a problem. I want to talk specifically. We've all heard from AGC and their newly stated position in opposition to the Garvey bonds. It came as a surprise to me. I think it came as a surprise to most of you. I want to talk specifically about some of the points that they raised to me and what we've done to try and trace back or look at those problems, specifically addressing them. And I know Commissioner Perkins has a number of folks here to talk about them as well. Their opposition came from basically the experience that was developed or gained in New Mexico and Colorado. Apparently in New Mexico, the claim was made that, they used a great portion of their revenue stream, and they jeopardized their ability to build roads in the future. And I think the claim was made that they had used like a third of their federal match, and they only did one project. Well, the reality is they didn't use a third. It appears they used about 10 or 11%, I think. The person's online to talk about from New Mexico to talk about it. They did, however, build one road, And that, I think, was perhaps part of the frustration or problem by some of the AGC members down there, in that you, when you have one road and one big project, you're going to have some winners and some losers, and those who don't get the project are going to be pretty frustrated. And I understand that. Our approach is not to do one big project, but it's a series of projects throughout the state. The second, they claimed Colorado had negative experience, and that they also were realizing the fact that they had overextended themselves. Tracing that one back, Colorado, who was also going to be online today, did not have that experience. And in fact, I think Colorado did something roughly similar to what we were proposing, perhaps not, and not even to the extent, I don't believe they even went to 10%, maybe 10 or 11%. So the proposal we have is for 11%. The other concern that was expressed was, well, we don't know where funding for Alaska's roads are going to be in the future. How secure are we in the fact that Alaska, who we think gets a pretty good deal right now, how secure are we in our revenue stream in the future? I went back and visited with Senator Stevens and Congressman Young about this specific issue, both in the near term and the long term. As you know, there were some rumors out that looked like DOT funding or highway funding was going to be cut this year. While that scenario has been laid out there, Senator Stevens recognized the fact, as did Congressman Young, that roads and bridges nationally are very popular, and they did not feel that funding for roads was going to be cut this year, that they were going to find a way to fund it this year. Beyond that, T21 is up for reauthorization. It'll be reauthorized next year. It'll be called Next-T. And it looks like Congressman Young, being the chairman of the transportation currently, even if something earth-shattering happens and next year he's in the minority, he will be the ranking member on transportation. And he felt very confident that Alaska would hold its position. And hopefully, you know, he was very bullish about we'd actually gain in position in relation to the next authorization. So I felt fairly assured from that conversation that our federal funding looked fairly good. So the only recommendation that I would give to you is, if there is some concern that we may be overextending ourselves or using too much federal authorization, as I said, I think we have between 10 and 11% in this that we've dedicated or obligated, not dedicated, but obligated toward this purpose. You might scale it back to 8 or 9%. That would certainly be within the realm of safety and comfort. And with that, Mr. Chairman, with your indulgence, I'd like to bring Commissioner Perkins up and let him talk more specifically about it. And I know he has, as I said, some of his counterparts from New Mexico and Colorado online, unless there are any questions that the members have for me.
Any questions or comments? Hearing none, thank you, Representative Mulder.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman.
Good morning, Commissioner. Commissioner, I understand that you want to call on some of the testifiers who are on teleconference. Is that correct?
Yes, sir, Mr. Chairman. Rather than you all have to listen to me for an hour, I would like to sort of be the ringmaster and bring in some other expertise and have them discuss these matters. I'd like to start off, and hopefully we've got these folks online, but I'd like to start off by asking my counterpart from the New Mexico State Highway and Transportation Department to talk about the New Mexico Garvey Bond Program. Pete, are you online?
I am.
Let me just introduce you a little bit. Pete, who is going to be talking is Pete Rahm. He has served in the position of Cabinet Secretary, same job I have, in New Mexico since 1995. Pete and I have one thing in common. We've both been past presidents of the Western States Transportation Group of the 18 Western States, and I've known Pete for a long time. I think he's done a wonderful job in New Mexico, and I'm really happy he can join us today. By the way, he is in the middle of rating meetings back in New York, so he's picked out just a little bit of time here before he goes to his next rating presentation. Pete, go ahead.
Thank you, Joe. Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, I apologize that I'm not able to be there, but as Commissioner Perkins just mentioned, I am right now in a conference room at Moody's Investor Service, and we'll be doing a presentation here in about 15 minutes for the rating on the last of the series of bonds that we anticipate undertaking in New Mexico. There's a couple of things that I would like to address just head on. I've been provided a copy of the correspondence that was given to, I understand, members of the committee and legislature from the AGC, one coming from the New Mexico Association of Contractors. And I have to say that I have never seen anything that is that really misrepresents the situation in New Mexico more than what I read there. In New Mexico, we are exactly where we anticipated being 7 years ago when we undertook a bonding program. Garvey bonds were one portion of a larger bonding program that totaled $1.2 billion. The $1.2 billion has turned out to be just an excellent investment from the standpoint of New Mexico. Our total cost for borrowing this money, which right now is right at $1 billion. And, I mean, that's a lot of money. I don't believe there's anybody who wouldn't say that that is not. But we have managed to borrow that at a all-inclusive cost of 4.69%. I think what's important is to recognize that according to the Federal Highway Administration, construction inflation costs over the last 10 years have been much higher than the overall inflation of the general economy. And highway construction inflation for the last 10 years has averaged 4.5%. So the interest costs of 4.69% are offset by an inflation cost of 4.5, meaning that the net effective cost of this $1 billion is 0.19%. And of course, that's offset further by the efficiencies that we have gained from being able to undertake entire projects at one time, the economies of scale, the economic opportunity that has been provided to regions of our large and sparsely populated state. At least relative to the rest of the country. I understand that's kind of a difficult statement relative to Alaska. But the economic benefit of having these projects in place today for a net cost of 0.19% is a heck of a deal. And I don't think you have to have a business degree to be able to see that. The one project that we have undertaken with Garvey Bond specifically was a project that was a 118-mile-long road. But that project was only part of an overall program that included the construction of 570 miles of new four-lane highways that linked New Mexico citizens and communities to the interstate system and our regional transportation system. And the projects also meant that we were allowing economic development opportunities in regions of the state that had previously not been considered because we didn't have infrastructure in place. And we were able to create a much safer highway system in which here in New Mexico, we know from our own experience that when we convert a two-lane road to a four-lane road, that we see a 40% reduction in serious crashes and fatalities. And so all of these things are in place today at a cost of 0.19%. So we believe it's been a phenomenal investment for the state of New Mexico. And I'd be happy to sit side by side with anyone from the AGC or the Associated Contractors of New Mexico and discuss this point by point, because I believe the facts clearly show that New Mexico has made an excellent investment in infrastructure. Their returns are significant. I think the only downside that I think has to be a factor, but I believe it's easily outweighed. And that's the consideration that contractors do not like to have to deal with fluctuating demands for their services. They don't like to have to deal with an expanded program that increases by, you know, some factor, and have to size up and size down. I think any business person would clearly enjoy a very steady, you know, increase in work year to year and not have to deal with fluctuations in the marketplace. But the fact is that I don't believe my job is the job that says I need to take care of my contractors. I believe my job is that I need to provide services to the taxpayers and travelers of New Mexico, and that has to be my number one concern. And the result is that we've undertaken this program that I've described earlier. I don't know if you have the overheads that have been prepared, but significantly, what we've been able to do, along with 570 new lanes of 570 new four-lane highways in the state of New Mexico, is that has freed up other monies that have allowed us to maintain the existing road system at a much higher level. We've been able to relieve urban congestion by 33%, and we've been able to now deliver four-lane highways to what in 1995 we had about 74% of New Mexico's population that lived in municipalities were connected by a four-lane highway. Today, we are in excess of 90% of our citizens connected with a four-lane highway. And when we complete the projects that are under construction now, we will exceed 96% of New Mexico citizens residing in a municipality will be connected with a four-lane highway. And that was accomplished with bonds. We've seen reduced highway fatalities, and I think very significantly, we have seen the reduction in deficient road miles. In New Mexico, our deficient road miles increased every single year for 23 years until in 1998 we were able to turn that around. And since that time, in 1997, we peaked out at nearly 6,000 deficient road miles. Today we're at 3,500, and I predict this year we'll knock another 400 to 500 miles off of that. And we've been able to do that because we've been able to take our existing revenues and dedicate them to the preservation of our system while we were able to provide new capacity by utilizing bonds. New Mexico's Garvey bonds, I know that specifically is what you're interested in today. Our Garvey bonds total only 4% of the state's program. As I said, the Garvey bonds were a piece of an overall program. But Garvey bonds specifically make up only 4% of the state's federal commitment. The single project was a project that went 118 miles into northwest New Mexico that had never had a four-lane highway before. And we were able to be very innovative in working with the Federal Highway Administration and created a project that not only were we building 118 miles, but we were able to build it in 28 months, and the end result has a 20-year guarantee for the performance of that highway, saving the state of New Mexico over the 20-year period of the warranty. We calculate $89 million in future costs that we would have had to have paid for the maintenance of this road that are saved as a result. I know that AGC absolutely bristles when you talk about warranties, but it's an excellent investment, I think, for the state of New Mexico. The concern about future federal dollars and will the dollars be there to make the payments on these bonds is really a question that the rating agencies had to address back in 1997 when we proposed the Garvey bonds. We Mexico, we were the first to propose a Garvey bond issuance with no state guarantee whatsoever. The bonds are purely at the risk of future federal funding. And so I think that as far as being able to answer the question of how does the marketplace, what fears do they have about the Federal Highway Program going away, was answered when they rated our Garvey bonds with no state guarantee at an A1 level. So we still have, we had an A-level investment grade bond with no guarantee or backup of state credit or state finances. Since that time, Texas, California, Oklahoma, and North Carolina have undertaken Garvey programs similar to New Mexico's, and the bond rating firms here in New York, where I'm at today, are now very comfortable with the risk of future federal funding, because they have essentially determined, or assumed, or calculated, or whatever the right word might be, that the true risk to these bonds is not default because of the federal government's program going away, because they know that federal highway funding has been in place since 1916 and has increased nearly every single year that the program, every single reauthorization since the program was put in place. So they believe that the only risk to the bonds is a delay in the reauthorization process. And so they have us put a 6 months worth of payments on these bonds in escrow for the risk of delay. But they are very comfortable with Garvey bonds and in issuing those bonds secured with federal dollars. We were able to, at the same time we undertook the New Mexico 44, the Garvey bond project, bonding has allowed us to undertake a project. It's like the big I is the name for it, which is the interchange for I-25 and I-40 in the center of Albuquerque. That project is $286 million, and it was the reconstruction of 111 lane miles of highway, 55 bridges, and the ability to reconstruct this project in 24 months has meant to the citizens of New Mexico a reduction in congestion in our largest city, Albuquerque. It's produced long-term, according to a study by the National Highway Users Alliance, the reconstruction of this project will produce the economic benefit to the Albuquerque metropolitan area totaling $10.1 billion in economic return over a 20-year period, for an investment of $286 million. So again, the idea that says bonding is not good business, I think is clearly shown here to not be the correct approach, because we are going to be able to create $10 billion of benefit to the Albuquerque region with a $289 million investment that's costing us 0.19% more than it would if we were to try to do it on a pay-as-you-go basis. And these sorts of projects are just way too expensive to undertake piecemeal. And lastly, I would point out that the efficiencies that we have seen from being able to bond projects and build the entire project under one continuous motion has seen the cost of construction in New Mexico be reduced significantly. We have gone from a cost of $1.3 million a mile to convert a two-lane to a four-lane road. We have seen those costs reduced to $700,000 a mile, a savings of $600,000, by being able to take an entire project and deal with it in one continuous motion. Now, I know that contractors are very fearful of out-of-state contractors coming and taking their business. They're concerned that they have to ramp up and then possibly ramp down at the end of these projects. But the benefit to the taxpayers is so great And the fact is that we found in New Mexico that the contractors who even did not get to be the general contractor have made significant money in the role of a subcontractor on these projects that they felt were too big for them to take on themselves. So we have seen a huge benefit from bonding, and we are exactly, I want to reiterate, exactly where we anticipated being 6.5 years ago when we undertook this process. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Mr. Ron. Commissioner, did you have
any questions for
Senator Hoffman?
Yes, you mentioned that you had constructed 118 miles. Was that new road construction that you were able to accomplish under this program?
Mr. Chairman, the 118 miles was an existing two-lane road that we converted to a four-lane, and we were able to entirely reconstruct it. There is nothing left from the old two-lane road. So it's 118 miles of brand new highway along an existing route of what was a two-lane.
That's now a four-lane.
And my question is, were there any brand new roads that were constructed under your program?
Under Garvey.
Now, under Garvey, the only project that we've undertaken was the 118 miles of New Mexico 44. But we have constructed a total of 570 miles of four-lane highway, brand new highway on virgin ground. We have about 15 miles, that's a relief route, around Santa Fe that was brand new.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Senator Osterman.
Thank you. Charlie, thank you for joining us today and giving us the input on what you guys are doing down there. I noticed that you talked a little bit about a 20-year warranty, and also in the flyer information that you provided here, it talks about the first 20-year warranty in the nation. Exactly what was the warranty, and was it for road design, or was it for actual road construction and the length of the road?
Mr. Chairman, the warranty is for the performance of the pavement itself for a 20-year period. And we have established a performance standard that is much higher than we've been able to produce on our own. We frankly have not built a road that could withstand 20 years of use and perform at the levels that this warranty requires it to be. We paid a price for this warranty. We paid $62 million. That's offset, though, by the fact that we calculate that we would have to do $151 million worth of $151 million worth of maintenance on this roadway during that same 20-year period. Therefore, that's how we calculate the $89 million savings. But it's a pavement performance that is a no excuse. It's a no excuse warranty, and the firm is Koch Industries that we purchased the warranty from, and they had to post a $114 million bond to secure the warranty, and the bond has to be increased by inflation during the 20-year period.
Thank you.
Senator Olson.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman. The question that I have for you is, AGC has put up some considerations that they've had out there and have subsequently opposed the Garvey bond issue, is what I'm interpreting. Have you seen evidence of that down there in New Mexico, their concerns of overheating the economy, or outside contractors coming on in and taking their jobs, and or taking the contracting jobs that are out there?
What's happened in New Mexico is that we have been able to reduce the cost of our projects through increased competition, and that competition has come from adjoining states. The AGC had issues that they took to the legislature, to the governor, and to the highway commission. And in all instances, the governor, the legislature, and the highway commission considered their statements and determined that the benefit to the taxpayer was far greater than the possible downside that the AGC was afraid of. The fact, again, is that over the last 5 years, New Mexico contractors have had more work, even given the competition that's come from adjoining states. New Mexico contractors have had more work than they have ever had within their lifetimes. And they've all performed admirably. And we have very good relations with most of our contractors here in the state of New Mexico. Most of the contractors support what we have done. There have been a vocal few that have opposed it, but overall, even a majority of the contractors in New Mexico would have to say that we have had a successful program.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
I would just remind the members, Secretary Ron is one of the star testifiers today, so it's go ahead and ask questions. But we do have 21 people to testify, so if there are questions that you can ask Commissioner Perkins later or any of his staff, save it for that. But if you have a specific question for that only these people can answer, feel free, and let's get as much out as we can. Senator Ward.
Thank you. On the warranty program, can you tell me, was the warranty program on the New Mexico 44, was that due to a long-term maintenance contract, or was it due to an upgrading of the material within the paving?
The company that designed this, Koch Industries, brought a new design for a pavement to New Mexico that involved a number of factors, primarily requiring a much better base being built to the road along with harder aggregates. So a significant amount of the return that we expect to get is because of this design that Koch has brought to us. But we also, as a part of this, Koch is required to perform whatever maintenance is going to be necessary to produce the performance levels that this requires. If the roadway requires more than one overlay during that 20-year period, our projections are that Koch Industries would lose money. So this roadway has got to perform at a higher level than what we typically build here in New Mexico.
And thank you for that answer. Can you tell me what percentage the contractor spent compared to what a regular roadway was?
Let's see, this entire project, the 118 miles, cost $310 million. And that includes the warranty payment.
And if it would have been built under the other standards, what would it have been able to be built for?
Typical standards. Now, what we would have done, our estimate going into this project, our estimate going in to just add two lanes, not reconstruct four, or, you know, to construct two and reconstruct two. So our original estimate to build only two adjacent lanes to this roadway was $214 million.
If I may.
So for $100 million more, we had a complete reconstruction of the roadway and a 20-year warranty.
And that's very good. I was wondering if you could tell me, for my information, because I'm just curious, between the difference between $310 million, if you would have built a regular four-lane road with the not increased amount of warranty, the better paving, what would have that have cost you? Not for the same project, only with a lower quality of paving.
See, the lower quality, we'd have to back into that, Mr. Chairman, Senator, because $214 million represented only two new lanes and not touching the existing two. We paid $310 million, so if we subtract the cost of the warranty out of that, that'd be $248. So that cost us $30 million in additional costs compared to what we were anticipating, $30 million more for this project, yet we got four new lanes instead of just two.
I thank you. Maybe I don't want to belay it. I understand that part. What I was trying to find out, what was the difference between your standard road building cost as compared to the new and improved building cost? That's the only percentage I was trying to find.
Oh, I'm sorry. You know, we can calculate that now. Charlie Trujillo, the deputy secretary, is there with you today.
Okay, thank you. I'll be able to get to some Commissioner Perkins later. Thank you.
Senator, I apologize Lehman. That I don't have that information.
Thank you, Commissioner, Mr. Secretary. Senator Lehman.
One quick question. Do you allow studded tires on that roadway? Or will that void the warranty?
No, we do not.
Pardon?
No, we do not allow studded tires in New Mexico.
Mr. Commissioner.
Thank you very much, Pete. I think that finishes this portion. We are going to have to move on here rather quickly. I'd like to go now to see if we have my counterpart from Colorado. Tom Norton, are you on?
I am.
Let me introduce Tom just a little bit. Tom is a civil engineer. He's worked over 30 years in the private sector engineering. He is the executive director of the Colorado DOT, which is about the same job I have here. Tom spent 12 years with the Colorado legislature, including 6 years as Senate president. Thanks for joining us today, Tom, and I'll turn it over to you.
Thank you, Joe, and I appreciate the opportunity to visit with the committee, Mr. Chairman, and senators. Since I've sat on your side of the table, I will try to be somewhat brief and direct and concentrate my efforts on questions. I think Pete Ron has given you the broad picture satisfactorily, and we have many of the same and similar things going on in Colorado. I will describe our program in general terms, and then if there are specific questions, I'll be glad to answer. I also have with me my chief financial officer, Heather Dugan, who can give you more details on numbers than you can comprehend, I can guarantee you, and provide with you all of the management ups and downs and those kinds of things with regard to bonds. I would like to be able to talk to you about some of the other tools in our toolbox Pete Ron talked about, but I will refrain from that unless you have questions, because we do have design build, we have warranty work capabilities and all of those things, but I'm going to concentrate mine on the bonding, because we've done many other programs, all of which are money savings, but money savings and the ability to balance our program, I'll stick as much as possible to the bonding program. First off, our program is about a $10 billion program, of which $1.5 billion is bonding. The rest of it is what we anticipate having as income over the 10-year period of our program. There are a number of factors that we have worked with our investment bankers to develop our program. We have worked very closely with FHWA in developing a payout program that is somewhat unique so that we can collect and pay our contractors and our bonds and those kinds of things. And when you get to the point, hopefully, of a successful program, we would be glad to share with you how some of that is done. Ms. Dugan, in particular, has spent a lot of time putting those together. The key points from my perspective on this program, it's very strongly supported by Governor Owens, and just to inform you from a political perspective, one thing that might be interesting to the senators, I ran a primary against the governor, and he appointed me to this position because we agreed on transportation, and that's somewhat unique in the political scene, and we have put together a program that he is very proud of, as well as the fact that we are very proud of the things that it will do. One of the things that he and I both say as we give speeches around the state is that the bonding program is the most conservative financial approach. And the reason for that is that we, through the difference in the cost of inflation and the cost of interest, we believe that our program is about a $500 million savings over that period of time, in which we've got $500 million we can reinvest into the transportation program for the state. We also have demonstrated that the bonding program on an economic downturn, when there are not funds available for the broader program, that it allows us to manage within the state transportation construction program more effectively, because we don't have some of the ups and downs that generally are created with a state like Colorado that can be highly dependent on economic conditions. So there's a distinct benefit there that I'm sure varies from state to state, but is one that we have been able to capitalize on. The fact of the matter is that had we not been able to bond in the economic conditions in which we find ourselves now, which are, to say the least, not healthy, we would have really had to shut our program down almost entirely. But because of previous bonding, we have been able to maintain a relative level of construction, which is very beneficial to the AGC and our local construction people. Certainly, those people worry about the consistency of the program, and of course, when you get it up to a certain level, they don't want decreases. But I made a commitment to them as we got into this program that we would not reduce our base programs for the smaller to medium contractors, and we've been able to hold that, and we actually have a good record in data that can show, and I spent some time with our local AGC members in the last couple of weeks going over that and showing them that that is, in fact, exactly where we are, and that that commitment to maintain their base has been upheld by our department and the government. I think that's an important point, particularly when talking to the AGC. Our program, for that $10 billion, we have 28 corridors and hundreds of projects that are all in one overall program, so that we are not bonding each and every individual program. I think it's important in a brief review of your bill that you have listed each one of the projects and the total amount. I would suggest you consider that carefully and allow the management flexibility for your program, such that what you've got is an overall bonding program with those projects without the dollars listed, so that you can manage those. In the design and construction business, there's a lot of variables, and I would recommend from my perspective that you put the trust and faith in your management of highways and transportation to get the best out of your dollars, because that flexibility will give you more value. The program that we have in all of those, we have one mega project in that, which is a $1.7 billion interstate highway expansion and rail expansion. It's a partnership with our regional transportation district, but that is around 10% of our total program. So when the the AGC complains about outside contractors and those kinds of people coming in, certainly that's a distinct possibility and improbability, because there's not enough resource in the community to do all of that. The point here is, though, that there's as much work for all of the local contractors, in addition to the fact that there's the opportunity for them to subcontract on the major project all at the same time. And certainly we have to communicate, and we, I believe, have a very good relationship with our state partner and the AGC, which is called the Colorado Contractors Association. We do have our differences, and we do have our discussions on how to improve our relations, but we do that with a meeting about every other week with them on an ongoing basis, and we have a committee set up for nothing but resolving those problems. And I think we work fairly well together to get them resolved in a timely fashion. That may be another characteristic that you want to add to your coordination and those kinds of things. But to me, that's an ongoing situation. It's really getting the communication and the understanding, not that you should take away from bonding. Use bonding as a financial and management tool to make your program move in a better, more efficient, more effective way, so that you could get use of the roadways at a time while you're paying for them, rather than waiting until you've got capacity problems and other things and you can't get caught up, which is what the state of Colorado did previous to this program. So those are some of the key important issues. We did put together a statewide program. There is not a corner of the state of Colorado that doesn't get some benefit out of this. The bond rating that we have is as high as I think could be received, a AA rating. We do have some state guarantees that have helped that coverage in that program, helps us with that rating. But all in all, it is extremely successful and beneficial. The kind of response that on the giving speeches around the state is a lot of thanks and a lot of praise for finally getting our transportation program moving. So with that, Mr. Chairman and Senators, I will stop and answer your questions, and I'm sure Heather Dugan can answer some. Or if there's things that you would prefer in writing, we could provide that.
Thank you.
Thank you, Tom. We appreciate it very much. Next, I think one important aspect of the Garvey program was our ability to use interest earnings on the bonds. And here today with us from the Federal Highway Administration is Jennifer Mayer. Jennifer is the Innovative Finance Specialist for FHWA's Western Resource Center in San Francisco. She is the Fed's national expert on Garveys, and she's been very, very helpful to us in putting our Garvey program together. And we'll try to be very brief here because we've got a long way to go, it looks like.
It's a pleasure to be here today, and I wanted to be brief because I understand there's a lot of people here who want to testify and who have stories about how Garveys have worked in their program. Let me run to that issue about matching funds first. We have no philosophical problem with using investment earnings and having them considered as state funds. As one of our individuals commented, we're certainly not going to share in any investment losses. Therefore, investment earnings should be considered state funds. And it's just a matter of getting that approval formalized. But in philosophy, that should not be an issue for this program. I want to emphasize that that matching fund concern, as we've addressed it at our federal level, and that should not be an issue. In terms of other states' use of the Garvey tool, there's been a lot of issues in terms of examining an overall program and making sure that the Garvey is sized for the program and ensuring, as we've talked about, that there's not a large balloon of projects followed by a dearth of projects in the future. And I've seen most of the states that have engaged in Garvey's programs have looked at this very carefully. The rating agencies have required them to look at it very carefully and to design their programs such that it actually, rather than causing a lot of peaks and valleys, if anything, it creates more periodization. It creates a more leveler program than having a large project that you do as a pay-as-you-go basis that can squeeze out smaller projects. So that's been the experience of some states. Obviously, other states, it's going to vary in each state, just as your weather conditions are going to vary in New Mexico and in Alaska. Exactly how your program works is going to vary. I just wanted to run through quickly some of the issues that states have considered and also mention why these transactions have not occurred before, because that's been an issue that several states have come up to me with and said, if this is such a great idea, why haven't states engaged in this before? And the reason is it wasn't legally possible before the 1995 National Highway System Designation Act and prior to several administrative changes on our part. It really wasn't possible to borrow against your future federal aid funds, and you weren't able to get reimbursed for the interest and issuance costs. So what we're seeing is that states have entered into these transactions. There's a lot of learning process in terms of integrating these borrowings with the current program, but it's been very successful in some states. Some of the issues that have been looked at is looking at matching the Garvey payments to the useful life of the asset. In most capital infrastructure, any other type of infrastructure, that's a very commonly accepted way to finance. Whether you're looking at your wastewater treatment plants, your drinking water plants, any kind of infrastructure that lasts for more than a couple of years has typically been financed over time. And highways have been a special case because of the historical restrictions in the federal aid program. And now that those restrictions have been removed and to a great deal changed, we have sort of taken a second look at these highway projects. Another thing that many states have looked at is just essentially avoiding construction inflation, which everyone has talked about, bringing those economic, safety, and environmental benefits sooner, achieving possibly economies of scale by being able to do large projects all at once and not in piecemeal fashion. And several states have also expressed some concerns in terms of whether those interest and issuance costs that they have to pay in the Garveys are going to outweigh that inflation savings, whether the additional money is actually going to bring projects sooner. Because in some states, the issue is not additional money. The issue can be administrative issues, environmental regulations, other things that can slow down project delivery other than lack of money. I think the other issue is matching funds, which Alaska has already addressed. And then whether the accelerated program can cause construction inflation, that's an issue. If it's too much as a percentage of the program, then there's an issue of, will you cause your own construction inflation? And I think that's another issue that most states have found. If they size their bonding program correctly, then that's not been an issue. I think that's all I wanted to mention for now. I understand our time is very limited, so let's see if there are any questions.
Senator Hoffman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. If this is such a wonderful program for highways, could it be possible to utilize the same concept for airports?
Airports, I have to confess, I'm not an expert on non-surface transportation. I know something about our use for transit and for...
I think I could probably answer that. A different agency, different rules, different regulations. The airport side of it comes out of FAA, and FAA does not have a program that is like this. This program is basically limited to the Federal Highway Administration. I think Transit also, FTA does.
But if it's such a wonderful program, it seems as though we would be working with FAA to implement a similar program, because in Alaska, roads are critical, but the most critical connection for many people in the state are airports, and I'd venture to say that 3/4 of the communities in this state don't have access to highways such as New Mexico, where many of them are interconnected. So it would seem that we would be pursuing a similar program with FAA, if this is such a wonderful program and there's such tremendous benefits for this program for highways. We as a state should possibly be leading the way to implement a program under highways, under a similar program.
Senator Hoffman, we certainly have talked to FAA. You've got to understand that in the FAA scheme of things, we are one of the few states that owns its airports. The rest of the states aren't too interested in this because they're all port authorities or whatever. So we have certainly talked about it, and I appreciate your comments, and we'll carry it on a little bit further. But it is a difficult job for us because the rest of the people do not own the airports on the state level.
I need to state my name. I'm Jennifer Mayer from the Federal Highway Administration's Western Resource Center. And if there are any technical questions regarding the matching funds or any other issue, I'd be glad to assist the committee.
Thank you, Ms. Mayer.
Mr. Chairman, I think one good barometer of the Garvey bond concept, and it's the ultimate test, is how are they accepted on the financial market? Because you can come up with any idea, and if you can't sell the bonds, you can't. You certainly won't implement it. So today we have with us Mr. Tim Rattigan from Solomon Smith Barney, investment banker, and he'll give us a little discussion on the market's acceptance of Garvey's.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. We put something together as a handout, but I would also, in turning it over to our transportation expert, who coincidentally was with Mr. Norton today in Colorado, his name is Ron Marino. Ron, are you on?
I am.
And I would like to defer my testimony to Ron Marino, and hopefully he can reference some things in the handout that we prepared and answer any questions as well.
Go ahead, Mr. Marino. Before you do, I didn't get the name of the last person that was speaking. I'm just trying to keep track of my list.
I'm sorry. My name is Tim Rattigan.
Oh, okay. Go ahead, Mr. Marino.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And I will be mindful of what you said earlier with the 21 persons who are here testifying today.
Thank you.
I'll try to move through this quickly and then answer any questions that you or the committee members might have. First of all, the use of leveraging federal funds is a very positive additional option that DOTs in a number of states have utilized over the last 4 years. As you might know, states of Alabama, Arizona, Arkansas, California, Colorado, Georgia, Massachusetts, Michigan, Mississippi, New Jersey, New Mexico, Ohio, and Virginia have utilized this option. The states of Nevada, Oklahoma have the authorizing legislation but have not yet moved forward with it. Also, the state of Florida has had the authorizing legislation since 1999 and has not yet utilized it. Although I believe Oklahoma and Florida will probably issue debt during the 2002 or early 2003 period. Because of both the budgetary and legal factors underlying the credit and security of this type of revenue stream, most of the programs have enjoyed relatively high ratings in the tax-exempt municipal market. Those ratings have gone from an A to as high as a double A. And the rating really relates to the legal and financial structure of each program, whether it is solely backed by federal funds or with the addition of a second source that a state might utilize. And it also is built upon a series of what we would call financial structuring, dealing with the amount of debt service coverage, the amount of debt, the amount of revenues available, and other types of tests that are integrated into the bond resolution. you look at, I don't know if you'll, if the handout that we have sent to you is available to all the members, but if you do, you can see on the, both on the last page, page 10, you will see some of the legal and structuring factors that I mentioned and the ratings that each of these particular programs have received. I would tell you, Mr. Chairman, that I think for a state such as Alaska, this is a very positive option for the state DOT to be able to utilize. Because it will allow the DOT, as earlier you heard both Secretary Ron and the Executive Director of Colorado, Tom Norton, mentioned, it really allows you to accelerate a program. It allows the state to use their federal funds at an earlier period of time. Thereby, because of inflation, you are actually buying a higher amount of construction activity by using it at an earlier period than using it when you might have received it 5 or 10 years in the future. And it avoids placing liens on other state funds that might be utilized for other purposes. And I would think, especially for a state with, at Alaska, you know, with a very large geographic area and a relatively small population, the cost of roads is very high on a per capita basis. This option allows you to really utilize your federal dollars so that you're getting the best payback on your federal funds that you've generated through the taxes on the federal taxes on gasoline, tires, and trucks. I would also say to you that I think you'll see other states begin to use this program in the near term future. While about 9 states have utilized, three or four are contemplating its use. With the downturn in revenue that most are experiencing, this option is going to become all the more valuable for a number of other states as they undertake large projects or comprehensive or complicated programs that they want to begin to accelerate. Let me finish up, Mr. Chairman, by simply saying to you that we've been fortunate enough to senior manage at Solomon Smith Barney 8 of these transactions and been the co-senior on 7. So I think we have a pretty good working knowledge. And I think you and the committee should feel very secure in allowing the DOT to have this authority and to be able to utilize it, because it is a conservative, well thought out, and reasonable option that is, has very limited risk and has an important contribution that it can make to the ongoing construction program, the acceleration of the completion of projects, and as Secretary Ron said, also an important economic development factor. Let me stop there in terms of the time and answer any questions that you or members might have.
Any questions for members of the committee? Commissioner, you look like you wanted to say something.
Yes, I wanted to thank Tim and those folks for making that presentation. Also with us today, we have Carla Perez from J.P. Morgan. Carla, would you stand up? I think in the interest of time, we're going to go on to the next one, but Carla has helped us considerably in structuring our programs. Some people have expressed an interest in whether or not Garvey bonds pass a constitutional muster. We provided the committee with a letter from the Attorney General that confirms that the bonding mechanism used in HB 191 is a legal method for financing transportation projects. And today, Mr. Eric Wolford of the law firm of Wolford, Vassar, Johnson & Breck has joined us to address these issues and answer any legal questions you have. Eric's firm has been a major underwriting counsel for many of Alaska's prior bond packages, and we're glad to have Eric on the phone. Go ahead, Eric.
Thank you, Commissioner. Mr. Chairman, I'm pleased to testify on the subject of the legality and constitutionality of the legislation that's before you. We participated as counsel in all of the Alaska cases where the legality or constitutionality of public financing was an issue. And we were the counsel in the Carr-Gottstein case that the Attorney General cites for the proposition that the legislation you're contemplating does not violate our constitutional limitation requiring a vote on indebtedness. In that case, there was a unanimous Supreme Court opinion that where the obligation of the state to pay was subject to appropriation, underlined, subject to appropriation, as is the case here, there is no impingement or violation of the requirement to vote state debt. Mr. Chair, I'm very glad. I know time is short, and there are many ready to testify. I'll leave my statement with that and be prepared to answer any questions.
Senator Olson.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman. The question that I have for you, sir, is the in a package that's this size, does it require a vote of the people, or can the legislature make the decision on their own?
This legislation that's before you, sir, legally does not require a vote of the people.
Thank you very much.
Any other questions? Commissioner?
Thank you very much, Eric. I appreciate that. Mr. Chairman, we've heard from several experts today on the aspects of Garvey bonds. We've gone through, you've heard Colorado, New Mexico. I will say that their programs are a little larger than our programs. By comparison, our program is a pretty modest proposal. The debt service on Alaska's proposed bond package is around 10% of our current federal program. The proposed package that we have will result in about $220 to $230 million in actual highway construction costs, and these costs will be spread over 5 years. I don't feel that they'll overheat the economy, and it's my feeling we could do a heck of a lot more. We've also heard from the Federal Highway Administration talk about the success of Garvey bonds nationally. They also credit Alaska with developing the concept for using the interest money to pay state matches, and other states are now picking that up. We've heard from the bond community and from a legal expert that the Garvey bonds are well received on the financial markets, and it's a good time to sell bonds, and that the proposed bonding method is legal. I'd like to reassure the committee on a couple of things. First, there is not going to be, in my opinion, a big decrease in federal funding in Alaska's future. Although we can thank our congressional delegations for bringing projects home, these projects are basically earmarked projects and they're outside of our formula. We get the formula and then we get the congressional earmarks on top of the formula. This formula that we get gets reauthorized every 5 or 6 years. It will be reauthorized, as mentioned, next year in Congressman Young's committee. We have, over the history of the program, got about 1% of the national program. We get somewhere, it's plus or minus a little bit of 1%. I don't see this changing in reauthorization. We're not a big player nationwide as far as taking a lot of money. We do get a lot more back than we pay in, but Texas really has not much of an interest in taking 20 or 30 or 40 million from us because that's a drop in the bucket for Texas, which runs a program of some $2 billion or so. The size of the program, of the national program, of which we get this 1%, is based on the 18-cent federal gas tax that everybody pays. So the only way that I see that our program could go down is if the Federal Highway Trust Fund went down, and that means people are not going to be using gasoline, tires, and various other things that get paid in. So in my view, Alaska will continue to receive formula funding at or above the level, and I think it'll be above, that we're really receiving today. The true test of this, of whether we're right or not, is if anybody else agrees with us. And the people that have to agree with us on this proposal are bond buyers, because those are the folks that are looking at the at the future federal receipts to the state of Alaska and saying, yes, we believe they're going to be there in sufficient quantity to pay the bonds off. Mr. Chairman, secondly, I'd like the committee to know that the list of projects that are included in that in the bill were developed in conjunction with working very closely with communities. And I think we've handed out to you a piece of paper that identifies all of the projects, but many of these communities have passed resolutions in support of this bill. And we've also handed out to you a list of communities where the local government has passed resolutions supporting it. Mr. Chairman, to end my portion of this, I'd urge the committee's favorable consideration of House Bill 191. I really appreciate and thank you very much for the opportunity to speak on this subject, and I'd be happy to answer any question that you all had on our entire presentation.
Questions from members?
Yes.
Senator Ward.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Could we take the entire total of the Garvey bonds, eliminate all these projects, and just make it into one project to extend the Alaska Railroad to Canada?
Senator, I don't think you could, because this is federal highway money, and the federal highway money under the current law cannot be used for rail. So the answer at this time would be no. Now, the federal legislation could probably be changed.
So it would be in the same category as Senator Hoffman's with the airports, is that correct?
Yes, sir.
Thank you. Okay.
Senator Wilkin.
Mr. Chairman, Commissioner, just run the numbers again for me. I see here we're talking about $379 million. But you, in your closing statement, said something about 200 and something spread over 5 years. And the governor's list is $425 million. What number are we talking about?
Senator Wilkins, the number I give you is construction. The numbers that are total in there include the entire project development. It includes the design. It includes, for instance, there's one project in there, which is the Wasilla-Palmer Highway. The entire amount of that money is going to go to purchase right-of-way. So it's the actual physical construction that people will see on the street is not that total. It's much less than that total.
So it's 200 and some million spread out over 5 years?
Yes, sir. So,
thank you.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Ward.
Can you tell me in this list, in the bill, how many new, not widened or improved, but how many actual new miles are in out of the 400 million new road miles?
Senator Ward, I can't tell you that offhand without reviewing the list again. There is not much.
I
think it's almost zero.
It is.
We'll provide you that information.
Because as I was going through it, I couldn't find any new roads. Other than maybe the C Street extension, which would be how many miles is it? 2 miles. But that's all I could find for new roads was 2 miles. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
There's one in that, sir. That's Scott Road.
Senator Green.
Excuse me, Scott Road.
Yes, there's one there.
Senator Lehman. And I think the Abbott Loop North, whatever it's called, the road that piece is a new road extension. So those are the three that I picked up.
Yeah, we can go through, sort through, and tell you which ones they are.
Any questions for the commissioner? Commissioner, is there anybody here with you from the Attorney General's office today?
No, sir, there isn't.
Okay. It's just that I would prefer a memorandum that was produced or at least actually signed by the Attorney General. On this issue, it's hundreds of millions of dollars, and I prefer if it was actually signed by the Attorney General, especially than the particular Assistant Attorney General who did sign it.
I'll do my best.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Hoffman.
Thank you. New Mexico talked about extended life of programs, spending an additional $60 million for a 20-year life of projects. Are we also considering that? Because it seems as though many of these roads in the 16 years that I've been here have not even lasted 10 years.
Senator Hoffman, we certainly have considered it. New Mexico is the groundbreaker on going to warranties. It's highly debatable as far as industry is concerned. It is certainly not proven to be effective. The big thing that they have done is they've warrantied their pavement. They have no studs. And our reasons, primary reasons for pavement loss of life up here, reduction, is studs. And I do not think, I think that if you put out a warranty on the road, when you warrant the road, you're basically saying that you've got to maintain it for 20 years. I think it would include, any road we warranty will include the payment in that warranty for probably three overlays at least, and probably four. So it would be, in my opinion, a very, very expensive thing. And I think until we get rid of studs in the state, that we really can't come up with a warranty program that would be one accepted by anybody, or that would not be extremely expensive. Because right now on the warranty program, I question whether or not the federal government would pay for it. I think the warranty program would probably have to be paid for out of state funds because it's a maintenance program. And so you'd have to come up with a fairly large chunk of money in that initial contract of GF to fund the warranty portion.
Committee members, I'm not sure that the warranty program is really germane to the Garveys per se. Let's stick to Garveys. This is a Garvey presentation, and we are running out of time. Mr. Commissioner, if you would continue, please. Do you have some other people that you wanted to have testify?
We're finished.
All right.
It's whoever's on the phone now.
All right. Mr. Commissioner, did Kim Swain Pierce testify? Did you want that person to testify?
Who's that?
Kim Pierce.
Actually, I'm with J.P. Morgan. I'm with Carla Perez, and for time considerations, we are actually just going to hold off.
Thank you. Mr. Kensinger, if you could limit your testimony to a few minutes, please.
Yes, hi. This is thank you, Senators. I appreciate the opportunity to address you today. I'm Dave Kensinger from Petersburg, representing Southeast Conference. One thing that's been a concern to everybody in the state is lowering general fund dollars that are necessary for maintenance. The one thing that's evident to me about Garvey bonds and this legislation and how it would apply at least to Southeast Alaska is that by enacting a lot of these projects, we will save general fund dollars in the long run. That seems to be a priority for the entire state. For that reason, I think that this legislation should be considered. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Kensinger. Mr. Strother?
Hello, this is George Strother. I'm Engineering Division Manager representing the Madison-Cassissette Borough. Madison Borough is strongly in favor of this legislation. We have passed resolutions in support of it. One of the things that this will do is any major project, a lot of major projects can be fully funded at one time so they can proceed without waiting 1 year to the next for right-of-way acquisition or construction, but so they go straight through from design through final driving on the road without having to wait for future paving for future payments, which frequently do delay the projects. There are a few new roads in the Matsu borough listing here. Some of these projects, such as Line 30, Seward Meridian, will have a mile of new road connecting. There are some projects that the borough requested did get dropped off. We do acknowledge that there are other areas of the state that do need their funding. You have to prioritize those also. The Scott Road that was mentioned by, I believe, Senator Green has been dropped off from the borough's request in this current legislature. We would like that as a very needed road as parallel to the Parks Highway. actual new road, a new alignment, which is the Selden Road portion, about 2 1/8 miles built, and we do need a lot more roads. This will help bring the roads up and serve our population. So Matsubura is strongly in favor. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Strother. Mr. Hackinson?
Yes, my name is Robert Hackinson. I'm a 27-year resident of the Palmer Matsu Valley area, and I'm here speaking hopefully it passes, we can get some work done. I'd like to thank the state of Alaska and Mr. Perkins for putting together such a good thing on this, preparing for the hearing, Mr. Mueller for sponsoring the bond, Senator Green for addressing some questions that have prompted some real good answers from all around our great nation. And although Alaska's scheduled for a lot of work, my main concern, because I live in the area, is the Old Glenn Highway work. I've driven on it for 27 years, back and forth to Anchorage. I commuted for 12. I know it's the only main link between the rest of Alaska and Anchorage and Point South, but I know as an ex-military man, I always look for a way out of the situation, and the Old Glenn is the answer. I don't know if the road conditions are such now that it would handle any heavy traffic. Say, for instance, major damage was done to one of our highway bridges out on the flats. I know the Old Glenn couldn't handle that. I think we need to consider a lot of things. A lot of the folks in the area, I've been involved lately, going to grade schools and high schools, going by the bus barns, and trying to talk to folks who use the road a lot. And everybody is pretty much in common, they want it fixed, and it's not safe right now. 3 years ago, my daughter was hurt pretty bad in a car wreck on the Old Glenn because of the lack of proper shouldering along the highway on turns, and my grandchildren weren't with her at the time, but had they been, I'm sure they would have been killed, and I don't know how I'd have reacted to that. I just want it fixed. One thing I want to emphasize is that I'm comfortable with the fact that I think everyone pretty much is in the favor of the Garvey bond. I know all these highways need fixing, and like I say, I want it done. And I've lived in Alaska for 52 years. I grew up down in the Kodiak. I knew Benny Benson. I went to school with Senator Osterman. I lived next door to Bill Egan when Valdez, the year he was elected governor. And I was involved in the Mat Valley storm of 79 with the military. I helped Fairbanks in the flood. I'm proud for the fact that I'm allowed to speak in 202 to help maybe get some work done on the Old Glenn and the rest of Alaska. We need to open it up. I'd like to close off by thanking you folks for doing a good job down there. I'd like to thank the people all over the United States who talked and supported the issue. And I'm going to close by saying I'm getting ready to go to my summer job in tourism, and I'm going to leave this in good hands with you folks. And take care of it for me. You'll be hearing from me. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Hackinson. You put Senator Osterman in some pretty good company there on that list. Mr. Luchak?
Yes, hi. I'm Leo Luzak. I'm the Director of Community Development for the City of Petersburg. I noticed there are a couple projects of ours on this list, the Midcoff Highway upgrade and the Hagen Drive upgrade and path extension. Both those projects are in serious need of some resurfacing. If they aren't resurfaced, the road will deteriorate and there will be higher maintenance costs. Resurfacing them will lower the maintenance costs and increase safety for my community. And I'd just like to report that these projects are supported by our city council and mayor, and they have broad community support. I hope you can find a way to fund them. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Luzak. Mr. Rogers.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, go ahead.
For the record, my name is Tim Rogers. I'm the legislative program coordinator for the municipality of Anchorage. And I'm also speaking on behalf of the Alaska Municipal League today as chair of the Public Works and Infrastructure Subcommittee. Both the municipality and AML have as one of their legislative priorities the support for increased transportation funding. We believe bonding, whether Garvey or general obligation bonds or a combination of both, is the most effective way to improve our road system. As Mayor Wirtz has pointed out on a number of occasions, We're graduating a class of high school students this year that have not seen a new road built in Anchorage in their lifetime. We also support the list of projects included in the bill. As Commissioner Perkins pointed out, the project list was developed with the input and concurrence of the local governing jurisdictions. In terms of whether an accelerated transportation construction program should be, Garvey or general obligation bonds, we believe that if used judiciously, Garveys have a lot of advantages. For instance, the use of the arbitrage for the match is a very strong incentive. However, there are some risks that need to be managed. We do, however, believe that these risks are manageable, and the bottom line is that Garvey's benefits, exceed the potential drawbacks. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Mr. Rogers. In the committee room, Lauren Gerhard, did you want to testify?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and members of the committee. My name is Lauren Gerhard. I'm the executive director for Southeast Conference. We have a fairly narrow interest in this bill, although we appreciate the small highway projects that are included in Southeast Alaska. Our primary concern is funding for the shuttle ferry that's included in this bill. We're kind of behind the curve on implementing the Southeast Alaska Transportation Plan, and we need to get the fix in before major capital needs to the mainline fleet become due. I'll leave it to others to discuss the merits of the funding vehicle, but whatever it is, we need the final product. From our perspective, building these ferries soon is important, to save our marine highway system. In fact, we encourage you to replace the second shuttle ferry that was dropped from the original bill. To complete the Southeast Transportation Plan is going to require an additional two on top of the two we would hope for out of this bill. We're concerned about how the shuttle ferries will be funded. The shuttle ferry concept is necessary, we think, to ensure the long-term viability of the marine highway system. Thanks for your time. Glad to take any questions.
Thank you, Mr. Garrett. Frank Dillon.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman. My name is Frank Dillon. I'm the Executive Vice President of Alaska Trucking Association, and I'm here today to speak in support of the Garvey bond concept, but with some caveats concerning the CS for House Bill 191, Finance Amended. I believe that a number of the projects, and this has been discussed with our board of directors, that are listed in the project list would be better left to general obligation bonds or other funding mechanisms rather than rolling them into the Garvey bonds themselves. I might also mention that two things. One, we did in fact lose federal highway funding money this year, which we should have received under the formula that was adopted by Congress. When $9.6 billion was reduced from the Highway Trust Fund availability, that at that point, the actual amount of money that would have come to the state next year would have been less than in past years. Through dint of effort on the part of Congressman Young and coalitions of road builders, transportation industry representatives, and common sense, $4.5 billion was put back into that highway fund money, which kept us at the status quo. But in fact, we did not get what we actually deserve out of the highway trust fund. That money was set to what is considered a higher priority right now, and may very well be so, our national security. The trucking industry supplies about 40% of the total revenues that are used out of the highway trust fund. And we feel as a result of that, that the concerns of the industry should be addressed. And one of those concerns has to do with the construction of shuttle ferries or fast ferries in Southeast Alaska that don't really accommodate the commercial vehicle usage as we would think of it in such as a part of the national highway system. Without going into details, I would like to say probably the most important thing facing us is not whether or not Garvey bonds are a good idea, but why Garvey bonds are there at all. Garvey Garvey bonds are there because we have a lousy highway bill that needs to be written, that Don Young will be considering in his committee this fall. And if we could streamline that bill, coordinate it with the NEPA process, we would not have to even look at Garvey as a mechanism for funding highway projects and getting them done in a timely manner. With that, I'll close and be happy to answer any questions. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Dillon. Mr. Katnaw?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. My name is Dick Katnaw. I'm Associate Executive Director of Associated General Contractors. And I feel somewhat like I made the Olympics team as a javelin catcher, hearing AGC's position bannered about across the country. You have a copy of my position paper, and after what I've heard today, I'd like to indicate that we stick with that. There are some things that should be clarified. First of all, I'd like to explain some of the problems that AGC has with the Garvey bond bill. And I think it should come as a surprise that the major construction industry that would be involved with building these roads is coming out against this bill. And you wonder why, because we're known as the rape, burn, and pillage boys. We'll build anything you want, anywhere, at any time. Why would we come out against this bill? And I think we have a well-reasoned position, and we'd be happy to talk to people about it. First of all, some of the problems we have. We were led to believe when the Garvey bonds were first introduced a couple years ago that our current level of funding will go on and increase on into the future. In fact, as Frank Dillon indicated, the highway funding has been reduced. The president recommended a reduction from about $31 billion to $22 billion. Since $4.4 billion has been added back, we're still going to see a reduction. And that reduction will amount to about a 15% reduction in the highway program across the country, Alaska included. Now, Representative Mulder indicated that Congressman Young and Senator Stevens have indicated they will try to get the money back, but this is going to be difficult to do because that money has to come out of other programs. It isn't just additive at this point. So I don't think we should bank on the fact that they said they're going to try to get the money back. At this point, the best sources we have is that money will not be restored. We maybe get $1 billion, maybe $2 billion back, but that's going to be it. We will not get back to where we were this year. Second concern we have, DOT is barely able to manage the project levels that currently exist. The promise of more work will not be realized if DOT cannot get the projects on the street. We're expecting this year an increase in projects, highway projects in the state of Alaska, about a 30% increase over it was in 2001. Yet project lettings to date are below where they were last year and barely above where they were in 2000. The problem is they're not getting through DOT and onto the street for construction. Passing this bill will not change that problem. We have to find a mechanism to get the projects through DOT and onto the street. Three, Garvey bonds are a zero-sum game. All we're doing is moving projects forward, and there's nothing wrong with that. We've heard some stories today about the need for some of these projects, and that's something we ought to consider with Garvey bonds. But we need to look at these projects. Do all of these have to be accelerated? And we have serious concerns about that. But by moving them forward, we have to recognize that there is not going to be an increase in projects. All we're doing is we're creating an artificial peak, and we're going to come down then below, and we're going to pay them off into the future. And if you take this program that's suggested over a 20-year period, we're going to reduce our highway program in the future by about $20 million a year. The thought that we're going to have an ever-increasing highway program may or may not be true, but when we look at the realities of the situation, Alaska right now gets about $6 for every dollar we pay in. We are the biggest benefactor in the country. In talking to Congressman Young, he feels that we can maintain that level for the next reauthorization period and perhaps increase that. AGC has committed to work with DOT jointly to represent Alaska's interest before the Senate, before the congressman and other interested parties. We are going to try to do the best we can for the next five-year reauthorization period to see that our level is maintained. But as I go around the country and talk to other AGC chapters, the fact that we get six times what we pay in is an issue of contention with most of the other states. And I understand where Commissioner Perkins said we're only 1% of the whole program. But when you're getting 94 cents back on every dollar, it is a problem when you can't advance your highway program either. And once we lose Congressman Young and Senator Stevens, to assume that we're going to continue to get 6-1 or better is wishful thinking, I think. This distortion, however, we heard New Mexico say that they in fact did have contractors coming in from Texas, Arizona, and Colorado. And they indicated, and this is, I'd like to clear this up, their contractors in New Mexico aren't happy. As a matter of fact, their construction industry, their highway